In this morning's passage, we get to overhear a conversation, or perhaps I should say a sing-off, between two pregnant women. And the irony is that neither of those two women should have found themselves in such a conversation. For Elizabeth was way too old to be carrying a baby. And Mary, well, she wasn't too young to be pregnant, but she was way too single to be pregnant. And yet, here those two women were. So what words flew out of their mouths? Did Elizabeth sing something like, "Nice try, God, but why didn't you do this 30 years sooner?" Or did Mary say, "I appreciate the effort, but seriously, what are you trying to do here? Get me killed?" For Mary knew that a single woman of her day could be accused of adultery and stoned. In other words, it would have been so easy for either or both of those women to sing a song of woe. And yet they didn't. They sang a much different song. So listen carefully as I read the story of those two cousins' first encounter after Mary had become pregnant. And then, let's come back together and see what those words can teach us about this thing called love as we head into Christmas week. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. It's read from the Common English Bible. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her." Mary said, "With all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God, my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored, because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone, from one generation to the next, who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever." Thus ends the reading. This past week, I spent a great deal of time thinking about how Christmas this year was coming at the absolutely perfect time. Why would I say that, you ask? Well, let me tell you. This Advent, our country has once again been dragged into an ugly, painful debate about immigration and how to best deal with it. And if that conversation wasn't bad enough, we spent most of that Advent season barreling down a road headed toward what seemed to be an inevitable government shutdown. So how do we get unstuck? Some have asked. Well, I've heard lots of interesting solutions. My favorite came from the pages of a book called The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt. In the book, Mr. Haidt notes that when it comes to our attempts to live together in community, we human beings are motivated by five core values. Value one is caring. Value two, fairness. Value three, loyalty, value 4, authority, and value 5, sanctity. You can see them behind me on the wall. Well, he notes that we reach the point of breakdown, or this week I should say shutdown, because some of us think about those core values in very different ways. Let's use the core value of caring as an example. There are some out there who experience caring primarily through the lens of their immediate social location. So they care for things like their spouse, their children, their neighbors, and if they're lucky, their coworkers. The second group is those who care for others in a much broader way. They want all people to have the same things that their spouses, their children, their neighbors, and even their coworkers have. Now, when those two different groups get together and start talking, things can get very ugly, very fast. Members of the first group, the ones focused in their own situation, often attack those in the second because they think those folks are trying to take away things from those they love and give those things to complete strangers. That gets them fighting mad. Members of the second group, the ones focused on those beyond their personal lives, then attack members of the first group, saying they're mean-spirited, selfish Grinches who only care about themselves. And that gets them fighting mad. So where does that approach get us? Right where we are today, shut down. Well, the solution, the author says, is that you need to get folks from both camps to understand two things. First, we need to get them to understand that all of us do, in fact, care. And that common ground can help us stop that name-calling. And second, once we can realize and admit that we all care, that there aren't good and bad guys in the conversation, then we can actually start talking about some things like solutions. Sounds pretty simple, right? So why hasn't that reasonable approach worked? How did we get to this point of shutdown? Well, that takes us to this thing called Christmas and the arrival of this baby, Jesus, the one of whom Elizabeth and Mary were both singing about. You see, those two women who lacked power and social status knew that they, like us, lived in a world divided, a world separated by walls between the Romans and the Israelites, between proverbial walls of the haves and the have-nots. And those women knew that if there were ever to be a chance of moving forward and establishing things like hope, peace, joy, and love, that they would need something far bigger and far better than any of these little techniques. They knew that they would have to look to the one who could come and do the impossible, change people's hearts. One who could actually get this, help them to love each other. And guess what? They found that one, and it resided in Mary's belly. That is why they were so overcome with emotion and spirit that day. That, in and of itself, friends, could be the sermon this morning. That the one who could build bridges instead of walls, the one who could take us from shutdown to moving at full speed, was about to arrive. But I think there's a second message here in the story. You see, for me as a pastor of a small neighborhood church, there's another element of the story that puts an extra pep in my step this holiday. And that other element is this. Each and every one of us has a role to play in the coming of that Christ child. If God can use a woman who is clearly beyond her childbearing years to birth a child that would pave the way for the coming Messiah, And if God could use a young, single woman to bear the Anointed One, then you know what? This holiday season, God can and will use each and every one of us here in the sanctuary this morning to help bring that spirit of the Christ child back into the world at the time and in the places where that Christ child is needed most. You might think that sounds to be too good to be true, but I've seen that happen so many times in the past year, right here at WHCC. I've seen it this year as God has used Pablo Guerra and Gina Lowe to bring that Christ child's hope to the lives of Peruvians through the establishment of growth of water projects designed to bring clean water to isolated villages in Peru. I've seen it as God has used Stacy Mosley to bring that Christ child's sense of peace to our world. She has worked tirelessly with millions of those across the country who belong to a group called Moms Demand Action in the pursuit of responsible, bipartisan gun policy that will reduce the incidence of gun violence in our community. I've seen it as God has used a Hollywood music producer, our own Wayne Wilkins, to establish and build a new middle school youth band, a band that has channeled the creative energies of our youth and turned those youth into agents of harmony. And I've even seen it as God has used two mothers from this church, Tiffany Shuttlehorn and Kate McClellan, who serve on the parent advisory board of the nursery school, to nurture some of the finest child development opportunities offered in the entire West Valley. And so, friends, as I sat with Elizabeth and Mary's magnificent songs this week, the only thing that I was truly left to ponder was this. How will God use you this year to bring the Christ child and the child's attendant energies into your little corner of the world? I can hardly wait to see how God answers that question next year. And so, in closing, let me say this. As we sit in the middle of a world obsessed with talk of walls and shutdowns, a world of us against them, let us give thanks for the examples of Elizabeth and Mary, who birthed the ones who can take us to higher places. A place where us and them is replaced by we. A place where techniques that are used to manage and manipulate those who we call our opponents are no longer needed. A place where fear, born of perceived scarcity, is replaced by joy, the kind of joy that can only come from God's astounding abundance of grace. And a place where, get this, love wins. Amen.